This is Stories from the Red Zone and Gear Review. And you are listening to the Archery Maniacs podcast.
So that buck stood up, had no idea I was there, and I airballed one right over his back, right into the tree.
I drew, and he sat behind that tree. So I sat there on camera for 2 minutes waiting for this bull to give me a shot.
Sure enough, they came through, and I was able to make the shot and fill my tag.
I've missed so many elk, and it took me 13 years to kill a bull elk with my bow.
He broadside to me, and click, I let go, and my bow explodes.
Called my husband, I'm like, I did it, I got one.
I saw the big branches, but I didn't see the small branches coming off, and I deflected, and I missed my opportunity.
Sent one right through him, and he didn't know I was there, and he was, you know, one of my better bucks, a 200-inch buck.
We launched an updated website at www.archerymaniacs.com. Go there, and you will find Archery Maniacs Taxidermy. Our taxidermy includes European mounts, hydrographic skull dips, and custom artwork. Customizable video packages. Packages to fit all your hunt needs. Monthly newsletter. The newsletter will include success stories, failure stories, gear reviews, wild game recipes, upcoming episodes in our online series, and upcoming podcasts, and updates to our YouTube online series called Live Life at Full Draw. Alert, alert! Soon to launch our ebooks, Hunt Planner Guide, all the steps you need to plan your next DIY dream hunt, including specific questions, hunt plans, and step-by-step instructions. Keto dehydration. Make your own dehydrated keto meals for your hunting and backpacking adventures. Super tune your bow, beginner's bow tuning guide, and more. Thank you for tuning into the show, and we appreciate you checking out the website. Do you suffer from target panic? Has buck fever affected your shot control at the moment of truth? Learn the science of shot control at shotiq.com. Joel Turner's Controlled Process Shooting Program will give you the tools to succeed in extreme stress shooting situations. Decide to succeed with ShotIQ.
Now.
Let's.
Get.
Into.
The show!
In this episode of Stories from the Red Zone, I share my first ever deer with a bow. As for the gear review, I review the Lock Outdoors bow sling. I hope that you enjoy the show. In this episode of Stories from the Red Zone, I am going to share my first ever deer with a bow. It is one of the, I don't know, like if I you can call it most epic, but definitely interesting stories. So I had a deer that was just giving me absolute hell. And I was 15, 16, something like that. You know, young, all the way back when I was first starting out bow hunting. And I had a good deer found. And I was trying to pattern this deer and get on this deer and do all this other kind of stuff. And it just seemed like nothing was working out. One day I was sitting out in a group of trees, and I had built a blind up and everything like that. And I'm watching these deer, and this buck is with them. I'm watching these deer start coming towards us. And then I hear out of nowhere, just this low rumble that's just continually getting louder. And I'm just thinking to myself, what in the hell is this noise? And I look up and there's this giant cloud of dust coming, and then brakes get screeched, tires are skidding through the dirt, and a kid I knew at the time jumped out the truck, hopped the fence, and started running basically towards the deer, you know, not really running right at them, but like, you know, trying to put a stalk on or whatever. And I'm sitting in my blind watching all this happen. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So naturally, the deer, they just, you know, they basically watched him the whole time. So they all took off. Then a few days later, I had seen the deer working his way towards where he usually crossed the fence. So I thought to myself, well, perfect timing. I will just, you know, I'll just get there before he does and I'll cut him off. And so here comes this deer and he turns. I start drawing and rather than turning broadside, he turns and looks right at me. And I don't know, I hadn't ranged him, you know, so this is back in the day, no kidding. My very first rangefinder, it had, when you would look through it, it had two pictures, almost like if you're seeing cross-eyed, and you turned the dial until the two pictures lined up, and that's how far away the target was. And no, I'm not ancient, I'm only 27, but that was back when I would just buy the cheapest thing possible to get by. So I didn't get a chance to use that on this deer. And he's just about ready to jump the fence and I start drawing back. And when I did that, he turned and started looking directly at me. So I thought to myself, I said, I just full drawing on thinking, oh, he's probably like 30-ish yards. I'm like, no problem. And I let that arrow go, and that arrow literally went right between his front legs, between his back legs, and stuck in the dirt on the other side. And he just kind of bound off, and he wasn't real smart. He bound off and turned around and looked at me, you know, and I stood up. And when, you know, your first deer, you miss like that, so your first instinct is to knock another arrow and try and get closer. It never works, but you know, that's always your first instinct. So finally, I had been watching where this deer had been coming out, and I had, in the little town that I grew up in, everybody knows everybody. And I reached out to the guy where I kept seeing this buck come off from his land. And asked him if I could hunt because I had permission on the neighboring land where I always saw the deer, but I was always trying to hunt him when he was out, you know, on that guy's property, like out in the middle of the sagebrush that he owned or the fields or whatever else. And that made it a real pain in the ass. So when I went over and asked the guy, if I could hunt where the deer was coming out of the trees and basically the river bottom, that was just putting me that much closer, you know. I was able to get set up and be ready as opposed to trying to cut him off, you know, or stalk on him. And now that I'm hunted a little bit more, I obviously enjoy spot and stalk more, but at that point in time, I just wanted to kill something with my bow. Earlier that season, I shot the first antelope I ever shot with my bow. That's a story for a different time because that's an interesting story too. And so I got all set up and I had two of my buddies with me. And we basically had my ground blind set up just past the edge of this guy's shop because he had a hay shed kind of thing out in the middle of this field. So we put the ground blind out there and we're sitting there and dinking around. And then finally, deer just start funneling out of the trees right towards us. And I was shooting an old pendulum sight at that time and a slider sight. And I watching these deer start coming and then all of a sudden there he is. And I start getting excited and, you know, getting worked up. And before I know it, he has passed all the other deer and he is right out in front of me. And he was about 45 yards, perfectly broadside. And I drew back and I hadn't moved my pendulum sight from my last stalk or whatever, or my last practice shot or whatever the hell, I don't even know, but I hadn't moved it. So it was still at 55 and I'm all worked up and basically frothing at the mouth to shoot this deer. And I draw back, not even thinking about it. Draw back, settle my pin, take my time, tunk, right over his back. And I'm like, no effing way, are you freaking kidding me? And I'm starting to try not, you know, kind of freaking out. And he turns and runs back to where he came from, obviously. But he stopped. He didn't keep running. Like I said, he wasn't all that smart. Thank God, or I probably would have never killed him. So I turn, and my buddies are probably, I don't know, 5 yards behind me or something like that. And I turn back, and I look at him, and I said, hey. They're like, what? I said, throw me an arrow. Because my dumbass had crawled out to the blind without another arrow with me. So, hey, throw me an arrow. They're like, what? I said, throw me an arrow. They're like, what? I said, throw me an arrow. So they threw me this arrow. And I picked it up and knocked it. And this buck is still just standing there. And now he's at like 54 yards. I didn't have to worry about my sight because it was already there. And so I drew back and let my arrow fly. And it wasn't a very good shot, but I got lucky where it hit. It hit right at the point of his shoulder and went through his jugular vein. So I let it fly. You know, it whacks him. And he goes running. He takes about 15 steps. And he turns around and he looks at me. And I'm just like, oh, crap. Do I just need to shoot again? I finally hit one. You know what I mean? Because I'd been like, that's like 4 years of hunting deer, and that was my first deer, you know? So I was like, holy shit, I finally hit one. Now what do I do? And this deer is standing out there starting to get wobbly, and I'm thinking, all I can think about is, I need to shoot again. I need to shoot again. And no sooner than I had that thought go through my head, I look out there, and this buck rears up and flips over backwards, and I likely to have died right then and there. I was freaking out. I was excited. My two buddies were excited. We went walking out there and started skinning the deer and everything like that. And, went and knocked on the guy's house, and he let us drive out there with the four-wheeler and load the deer up and everything like that. But man, what an epic, epic hunt and kind of a start for me. You know, I mean, that's still the widest deer that I've ever shot. He was 29 3/4 inches wide with a 2.5-inch kicker on one side. So with about 2.5-inch eye guards on both sides, you know, just a solid 5x6 buck. 29 3/4 inch wide, and that was my first deer with a bow. So some things that I think, you know, we did that really made that hunt become a reality is kind of never giving up. You know, after having him blown out by that other kid and then missing him again right before I shot him and then finally shooting him, if I'd have got mad and frustrated or whatever else, there's no way I would ever got that deer. And then on top of it, you know, I mean, yeah, you don't ever like making mistakes, but you really got to realize as a new bow hunter that the likelihood and the chances of you making a mistake are very, very high. So if you go out there with a mindset of, what am I going to learn on this trip? And I'm planning on killing two, rather than if I don't kill, this isn't a good trip. You're going to go leaps and bounds ahead of other people. Another thing that I think I did was paying enough attention to the deer, even back then, you know, paying enough attention to the deer and where they were coming from. Because if I wouldn't have relocated onto that other guy's property, you know, him letting me hunt, then I highly doubt that I would have got that deer, you know. So there you have it. That is me, Zach Harold. That was my first ever deer with a bow. And it was quite the deal. Thank you guys for tuning in. That concludes this week's segment of Stories from the Red Zone. I hope you got a few laughs and maybe learned some things to do and some things definitely not to do. Now, let's check out this week's gear review. You know, I'm impressed with this Kafaru. 150 plus pounds, this thing can handle whatever I throw at it. These Under Armour fat tires are so comfortable, but it's only been 6 months and they've already got holes. I just can't get them to hold up for me. This Valkyrie Broadhead delivery system hits so hard. Pass-throughs are now expected. I gotta say it, this Sitka gear is the only camo that has lasted me longer than a year. And once again, this damn binocular harness has rotated around, putting all the pressure on the base of my neck. This S4 gear lockdown sucks. Just like that, it was broke and I was pissed. I'm not here to tear any companies down, but to simply tell the truth, because my life and my hunt depend on my gear to perform. So with that, enjoy your no-holds-barred, non-scripted, no-bullshit gear review.
Now,
let's
get
into
the show!
How's it going, everyone? Zach Harold here, and I have another gear review for you. In this episode, we are going to review the Lock Outdoors Chubby Plus Wrist Sling. I just recently upgraded to this thing about 5 months ago, and I absolutely love it. It is the most comfortable wrist sling that I have ever shot, hands down. So some of the features that this wrist sling offers is that it comes with its own bracket mount, as you can see in the video. It comes with its own bracket mount that has a bolt hole that you put your stabilizer through. It's a machined aluminum bracket mount. So what I like so much about that is you don't have anything, you know, any kind of unevenness or bending or wavy like the leather ones or anything along those lines. You'll never have an issue where the bolt try and goes through it like I've had on the leather ones. So that is super beneficial. Some of the other qualities that it has is... you can adjust this wrist sling up and down however, you know, whatever size you need simply by twisting these. So you loosen it and then you just slide it in and out. And that allows you to get you the perfect fit for you. And then you just tighten that back down and it's tight. I mean, it is in there. Another quality that this has is that the wrist sling is up. And what I mean by up is it doesn't flop down and fold down like that, making it so it's a pain to get your hand in there. This wrist sling is always up. I mean, you can see right there, I'm bouncing this bow up and down and the wrist sling is still up. So you just makes it way easy for you to just slide your hand in and out. You know, when you're on a stock or something like that and you're carrying your bow like this, and then you're getting close, it's way easier to slide your hand in, you know, go from this, that, rather than this, all that, you know, trying to maneuver and move your sling to where you can even get your hand through. This sling stays stiff enough that it stays in the right position for you to get your hand in and out. So that's a big plus. The adjustment screws also come with the dampening material or Vibram little disc there, kind of like almost like the circular disc like a Matthews has. So that's some of the qualities of the sling itself. So the length of the sling is nice. because you can adjust it to fit you and your wrist and your hand size and everything like that. So that's perfect. The material, it is a 100% machined aluminum G3 bracket, like I was telling you. And it's flat on both sides so that it'll fit flat against your riser, which is awesome. Some of the product likes are, I really like that the sling material is stiff enough that it stays up and open so that you can get your hand in and out much easier. I really like that the adjustment screws are vibration dampening. I really like that it even has adjustment screws, you know, rather than some of them, you weave them in and out and all this other crap, and it's just a total pain in the ass. So I really like that these adjustment screws, you loosen it, slide it, tighten it, good to go. And one of my other favorite things is, like I said, this machined aluminum bracket is flat, so it fits flat against your bow riser. As far as dislikes go, I honestly don't have any dislikes. I really, really like the sling as well as the bracket. Easy use, scale of 1 to 10, 10. I literally put it on, loosened them, got it to fit me, tightened them back up, and I haven't ever messed with it since. So that's a 10. Do you get what you pay for? Or toughness, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10. Providing you take your knife out and you cut it in half, or you drop your bow off of a cliff, you're not going to break it. So do you get what you pay for? Yes, absolutely. Would you recommend it to a friend? Yes, absolutely. So you can pick this up at the Lock Outdoors website for $29.99, or you can go over to Amazon and it is between $26 and $88. So they also have various colors choices on their website. So that is lockoutdoors.com. So there you have it, the Lock Outdoors sling and bracket. Yeah, I absolutely love it. So hope you guys check it out when you're on the hunt for your next bow sling. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in to the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, one star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lambers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.